Slider. You stink.
Welcome to episode 3 of Playing with the Boys. I am one of the four horsemen of the apocalypse. I am Mark the Nomad. I'm joined, sadly, every week by the same three guys. This week, again, I'll be joined by Aaron. How are you doing, Aaron?
I'm doing very well, Mark.
Oh, there's your kids. We recorded for 5 good minutes of silence, and then the minute we actually were going to go for the podcast, someone shit their pants in the background. All right, so next up we got our good buddy Boney, the Grand Wizard, and how you doing tonight, Boney?
Heil, and Chocolate City.
Heil, Chocolate City. You're just taking the villain role and running with it and doing your deal. I like it.
I'm the hero that you're not ready for yet.
And... Boney Fuhrer.
Oh, God. Last but not least, we have Mike. I can't record on Wednesdays because I do trivia. How you doing, Mike?
I'm doing well.
How did you do at trivia?
We actually did not do very well.
I'm glad we had to wait a day to record for that.
I'm glad we did, too. I'm going to do a shameless Aaron plug here. Follow me on Twitter at CLE Wolverine.
No. You can't have a plug after you skip a podcast to do trivia.
What do you have a trivia name?
Last night we were Shemale Fiesta.
Is there a lady in this trivia that you're smitten with or something?
Smitten.
No.
Then what are you doing? How is that more important than a podcast?
It's more important. I've been doing it for longer.
It's like a part weird of the team. Subplot for a bad Cleveland sitcom.
Is it like bingo? Is it a bunch of old ladies?
No. It's actually probably some people we know here. Like Steve, oh, yeah. Kaczynski, Anthony.
Anthony who?
Anthony G, you follow him.
Oh, I follow him.
Oh, yeah. he and I are like BFFs on Twitter.
Yeah, he loves you.
Yeah.
Well, so, you know, we've been getting some praise, we've been getting a lot of listens, and I want to thank the people who are actually continuing to listen to this.
Yeah, thank you, little people.
Yes, most of the praise is, I really enjoy that you guys don't really talk about anything, so I think we're going to try to maintain that and just talk about whatever comes to our mind, and whatever that be it sports or, you know, we'll do our little sports reporter thing at the end. You know, and I'll make it awkward again. I'm not pilled out this time, but we'll try to do that. But we're just going to talk whatever comes to mind.
I thought that was a new, like, show thing, that somebody had to be under the influence of something. And I, as far as I know, other than Boney with his usual prescription pain medication, that no one is on anything this week.
I am not on anything.
No, I'm not.
How am I on pain medicine? I wasn't the one that had my nuts cut open last week.
Yeah, let's talk about this.
I'm on rays of sunshine.
I had a brief...
We got out of talking about it last week. How is it going to be brought up now?
I don't know. I thought you guys would pounce on it, but now I'm more lucid and can adequately defend myself.
I will not be pouncing on your ball sack, thanks.
It's still bruised. It's got purple streaks.
You won't twit-pick it.
You're right. I will not.
What about Instagram? I mean, you can post porn on there now.
You can post porn. Oh, yeah, that's true. We talked about that last week. I just now remembered that.
You should do it for the Vine.
You should do it for the Vine. Is there any song that mentions, like, purple streaks? Like, maybe I'll do, like, Champagne Supernova, but it'll just be streaks of purple bruises on my balls.
Okay. Now we've taken the bit too far.
No, I'm really going to do that now. I just got to sign up for Vine.
Great. So, the positives of not doing this as a regular, like, sports podcast is I've seen some, like, bad video sports podcasts. And, like, you watch them, and it's some of, like, your favorite, like, NBA Twitter guys. And, like, I'd pull it up on my iPad or my iPhone, and you would just see, like, four dorks sitting there with their big-ass, like, Beats headphones on, and they're sitting there talking like they're Craig Sager or David Aldridge, thinking that they're breaking news. So that's the best part about this.
And they're talking about like BABIP in baseball, and
hate, like, that's the thing I hate the most about like sports bloggers in general is they type these long ass like posts that you read on their blog. And then you see their little picture, like, in the About Us section, and it's like, you can't even throw a spiral. What are you talking about?
That's how I feel about college football recruiter writers. Every time I see a picture of them, they're like 5'3", 140 pounds. They've probably never played football in their entire lives, and they're evaluating talent, and it just doesn't make any sense to me. I mean, how could you possibly – you can't relate to it at all.
It's insane how much actual like pull and clout people in the blogosphere have for setting the tone for like, you know, all of the arguments that take place about
like
five star this, five star that. And right. It's like just a bunch of dudes who are like, you know, it's like a weird hipster thing where everyone has to look the exact same if they cover recruiting.
Like I adore MGO blog.
Yeah.
But all those guys, you look at them and you're like, how the hell do these guys know anything about football?
I feel like if I wanted to cover recruiting, I would have to lose a lot of weight and get some glasses.
Yes, some hipster glasses.
And like two sizes.
You have to carry it. Yeah, carry around a messenger bag.
And like an extra small flannel shirt and skinny jeans.
I think following around high school kids playing sports is just creepy in general anyway, honestly.
Yeah, it's like it's really weird when like you follow kids who are 17 years old, and then when we're getting ready to do the podcast, you look up one of the members of the podcast and start Facebook stalking them and things like that.
Okay, well, listen. Right. Nothing is weirder for me. So I don't remember the kid who it was now, but it was one of my Detroit Tiger fan followers, and I was just seeing him tweet another day, and I said something about grabbing a beer, and the kid who I this whole time thought was like 30, he's like, no, I'll just have a shake. I'm 17. And I'm like, what?
Oh, shit.
Like, it's like that. It's one of those. I know at least Mike follows him too, and I can't remember who it is. But I think it's that Die BABIP dude or something.
Whoa. I like that guy.
Yeah, I don't know if it's him or not, but he's 17. And I was just really weirded out by it. And
right.
Like, it just creeped me out that I was following somebody that was under the age of 18. Like, if he would have been like, oh, I'm 18, I'd have been like, whatever. But, I mean, just in general with the whole high school recruiting thing, it's just kind of creepy to stalk and follow, like, 16-year-olds, man.
Yeah, but that's their job. And that is their job, to go watch them and interact with them. I do think it's a little weird, but if I were getting paid to do it, I'd obviously go do it. And actually, it would actually be kind of enjoyable to...
All right, I'll ask you a question then. If you were able to make the exact same income you make now doing that job over your current job, would you?
In a second.
No, I wouldn't. I love my job.
How do you love your job? You routinely talk about how you hate your job.
No. I don't hate my job at all. I work. So like today, I logged 10 hours, and I probably was legitimately working for 45 minutes. My job consists of driving, listening to Twitter, or looking on Twitter, listening to, you know, sports radio where I get dumber every day, and, you know, sometimes I just take walks in the middle of the day. So, no, absolutely not.
What?
You're going to also take walks in the middle of the day.
I don't tweet while I drive.
Yes, you do.
Yes, you do.
I tweet everybody texts and everybody drives.
Yeah, you do.
I actually had somebody call into my office and complain that I was texting while driving, so maybe that is true.
Yeah, I mean, you said you worked maybe for 45 minutes today, and that means that you were texting and driving for 9 hours and 15 minutes.
No, yep. I took a nap in a school parking lot at one point.
That's really creepy.
That's nice.
They had ants in their in their cafeteria, and to make it justifiable, because we have GPSs on our trucks, like, I should be there for, like, a half hour, 45 minutes. Well, it took me, like, 5. So what else am I going to do for that remaining, like, 35, 40 minutes?
Does your employer know about this podcast?
My boss probably wouldn't care. We had I texted him the morning that the Browns drafted Johnny, or the morning after, and told him that I wasn't coming into work because it's what Johnny would want, and he told me I still had to come to work, but I don't think he would really be upset. He doesn't work either, so.
Did you go into work that day?
Yeah, I did.
Oh, okay.
Unfortunately, I don't think I missed a day of work in like 2 or 3 years, man.
Pretty exemplary.
Yeah.
Well, when you only work for 45 minutes a day, keeping you away from it?
Well, that night I get paid hourly, so I just kind of like going to work.
Can I ask you something? You know how you used to track those runs on your phone? Did you ever do that while working?
I never ran. I've taken walks, yeah.
Be like, yeah, I'm going to go do this job real quick, and then you just went for like a 6-mile jog, and you're like, wow, that was a really hard job.
Yeah, so, I mean, I've walked. I've never ran, just because I don't have anywhere to like change while I'm at work, or otherwise I would. I've considered it sometimes when I've been working in the town I live in, like just parking at home and going for my run and doing that during the day, yeah.
When you do your walk, do you pump your arms like a senior citizen, like speed walking?
Yes, I do. And I carry around 2.5-pound weights as well.
Do you ever power walk the mall?
No, Walmart, which is kind of the mall around here.
Walmart.
That's really sad.
That's some hayseed shit right there.
You've never met, like, you don't have Walmarts and
I've driven through where Aaron lives. It's pretty accurate.
We have a Walmart. We have like 3, but it's not like the town hall. It's
well, so all right. So where I live, actually, the closest like big store is Walmart. It's like 5 minutes down the road. Like if I can go to Target, 25 minutes. Kroger, 20 minutes. Meijer, 25 minutes. I'm going to Walmart, man. It's just happening.
God, you got some Midwest sounding ass stores up there.
How are you a fan of the Tigers in Detroit and not have any like Midwest roots? I mean, are you from there?
No. So like my dad grew up. He was born in Ohio, and his dad, my grandfather, was from where is it? It's like central Ohio, like maybe an hour and a half southwest of Cleveland. So where my grandfather grew up, you were either a Cincinnati fan or you were a Tigers fan. Like that's what my dad was telling me. So my dad grew up a Tigers fan. So since my mom has little influence over anything I've ever done, I just became a Detroit fan. So, you know,
you're doing Liano.
No, I mean,
don't say that. That's really messed up.
No, I mean, you know, at least I go to Detroit games. Like, I go every year. I go every summer to Tigers games. And when the Pistons were in the playoffs all the time, I used to go to Eastern Conference final games.
All right, so before I ever talked to you, which was the first time I ever talked to you was when we did the first podcast, but I pretty much just, you were the, like, goose on sports of Washington, D.C., you know, or the kid who's from Minnesota who trolls Cleveland for some reason.
Yeah.
And you just, I saw you trolling Cleveland all the time, and yes. I never understand why fans of like these random cities choose Cleveland to troll of all teams.
Because it's the easiest.
Well, so my dad doesn't like any of the Cleveland teams, so when I was growing up, of course, you know, we used to make fun of Cleveland. But it was never as big as it is for me now. So now, I actually, when you first started seeing me like really troll Cleveland bad, it was because I had actually just broken up with a girl. Well, not really broken up with. We dated a little bit, and we kind of just stopped seeing each other. Well, she was from Mentor, Ohio, and she was a big Cleveland fan. So it was like every day, every time the Tigers would beat the Indians, I would post something on Facebook about, you know, how my night was better because the Tigers beat the Indians. And, you know, so it was just kind of
break someone's heart.
You know, it was just kind of one of those things. And plus, the Pistons always played the Cavs in the playoffs, you know, like before LeBron finally beat them. You know, so it was kind of like, it was just something funny that my dad and I kind of just started joking about. And then it got more and more serious as Cleveland, at least the Cavs, got better and then finally overtook the Pistons.
Boney, do you you want to talk about the breakup? You want to talk about it a little bit more?
No, actually, you know, I don't know. Do any of you guys know that the internet celebrity, I call him Brian Spaeth? Do any of you follow him?
No.
No.
No, tell us.
So, all right, so there's the first blog I ever found out about. I mean, this was years upon years ago. I had come back from Cleveland on Mother's Day. We went up there, my dad and I went up there on Mother's Day to watch a basketball game, divisional series, second round of the playoffs. And Rasheed Wallace, it was a game Rasheed Wallace had twisted his ankle real bad. And, you know, of course, I'm pissed because all the fans there are like cheering. And then, of course, Cleveland won. And as we were leaving, you know, I don't wear Detroit shit when I go to other cities. It's just because I know how moronic, you know, out-of-town fans can be. But my dad had a Pistons shirt on, so this guy, as we were leaving, this guy, like, got right in my dad's face and was like, oh, yeah, you know, Pistons suck, blah, blah, blah. And so it, like, really pissed me off. So the whole ride home, I was searching on my phone for, like, message boards. And it was the first time I ever had trolled anything on the computer at all. I found this guy Brian's website, and I just trolled the hell out of it. Because all he was doing was making fun of, like, Rasheed Wallace and the Pistons and whatever else. And so I just loaded up his comments section with, you know, just troll of the year comments. Like, it was the worst. And it was the worst. Like, I was serious about it. Now I'm not serious about it. But, you know, looking back on it now, it's pretty ridiculous how I was. So.
Anyone have any I think we all go through that.
I think we all kind of go through that phase.
I mean,
when
shit.
I first started going on Twitter, like, all the Tiger stuff really used to piss me off.
Yes.
And I get really, really mad about it. But now, it's just kind of like, whatever. It just is what it is.
Yeah, and it's pretty much the same exact It doesn't really affect me anymore.
Yeah, I'm probably going to be better than you in most cases at getting underneath your skin. I'm just saying. So, except for Boney, he got under my skin.
I got under your skin one time when I randomly trolled soccer and you got super butthurt.
I think it was due to Sunday night TV shows.
I don't understand.
Which is also, well, people were like tweeting about Sunday night TV shows, which is like, it's like Walking Dead. Oh my God. What just happened to this guy? Oh no. And then mind blown. Oh my God. Walking Dead. And then I just started, like, trolling it, and then you started going in on soccer. I think that's how it happened.
It was very silent. It was very calculated. And then I was like, hey, man, I like soccer. Just fucking with you. And you were like, damn it.
Sometimes, like, some of my favorite things on Twitter are when Ohio State beat – like, I think it was a basketball game when Ohio State beat Michigan. Obviously not this year, but the year before. And Mike had, like, the most epic – and I'll say the word epic that I hate – like, the most epic meltdown in the world after that game. Like, just he's like, I don't care if they cheat. I don't care if Urban Meyer's a dick. I wish we would cheat. I don't give a shit. I want a dickhead as a coach. I don't care. Tattoos, whatever. Aaron Kraft always – like, he hates Aaron Kraft, you know. But that night he was just praising him. It was just – it was so – like, it hurt me and made me happy all at the same time because I, like – legitimately, I just wanted to hug him and say, listen, man, it's okay. You know, things will get better. This is a low point. But that was one of my favorite nights on Twitter.
We were undefeated, and I was like, you know, we suck at football, but, you know, this basketball team looks pretty good. We're undefeated, and our first loss has to be against Ohio State. And I was just so fucking pissed. And I remember I remember having a group text section with Lance Gordon and Scoutkowski.
So you were sexting Scoutkowski and Lance Gordon that night.
I said group texting.
You said sexting.
Did you show your penis to somebody?
Be like, I'm so mad. This is my dick.
Here's my beanbag.
Oh, this podcast really is about nothing.
So, I didn't want to make the segment all about myself. So I wanted to give you guys a minute to like talk about your trolling and how it bothered you. So back to like the relationship that ended.
Wait a minute.
Oh, God.
I have to stop you because I said that because you were getting to one of those cool story bro moments where the story needed to end.
Okay.
I'm not trying to be mean, but I'm like, what the fuck is he talking about? Like some guy got in his dad's face and then that was the fateful night where you lost your trolling virginity and you found message boards for the first time and
now
here you are.
So now I'm friends with the guy, Brian. I've met him a couple times, and he and I had a discussion one night, and I brought up that chick that I had gone out with a few times, and about how she wouldn't let me leave her house one night because we were watching Criminal Minds on TV, and she didn't want me to leave. And, of course, she found his blog because, you know, she knew I was bony on Twitter, so she had Google stalked me. Found his blog like the day or two after that post went up about me complaining. And she was like, yeah, I can't do this anymore. You talking about me online. So that was it.
Huh. So does she live in Chocolate City with you or was this like somewhere else?
Yeah, she's in the neighborhood here.
So you lost a relationship because of your trolling.
Yeah. And actually I've had people find me on Twitter and actually ask me why I type in all caps and why like I'm just outwardly just a dick. And I'm like, if you don't really understand like what's going on, then it's gonna sound idiotic to explain it to you. And
like what's happening right now.
Yeah, I mean it's just, you know, if it's like it's not if I tell somebody it's not serious, then the first response is, well, why do you type in all caps? I don't understand how that's sarcastic. When clearly, like, if you see the person I'm responding to, or if you see, like, the freaking 45 tweets in my timeline about Johnny Manziel, of course I'm going to type in all caps about Johnny Manziel. It's just, you know.
He deserves that.
No, he doesn't.
King Johnny always deserves to be talked about.
Remember, he's a backup.
Dude, you were more excited about the Browns draft than most Browns fans.
No, let me clarify that for the record. I said they were having a good draft in comparison to the Lions. There's a big difference between excitement and admitting it was a good draft.
You were excited that your real favorite team was having a good draft.
All right.
That's my theory on all people that hate Cleveland that much. They secretly root for them.
Yeah, like you're kind of like my dad. My dad's like that. Like he pretends he's like a Reds fan, and then you know, like the Indians are do well, and like he's the first person that calls me to talk about it. Like, you know, you guys all are secretly Cleveland fans. You just want to be the cool kid, and you know, because it's cool to make fun of Cleveland. It's cool to be bullies. Yeah, the anti-bullying thing. You guys are just bullies, man.
So you think?
I think we should let Mark talk. Mark's lonely. He's tweeting.
You think that people? Yeah, I am. I don't know what we're talking about. That's why I'm really lost. I'm like, what is going on?
I have no idea either.
I'm in my element right now.
I want to make sure we got this clear. You both think that people talk about Cleveland because secretly.
No,
everyone's
no.
a closeted Cleveland fan,
no, no, no.
and
no.
we're just jealous.
Absolutely not. No,
no one's jealous.
I would never accuse you of being a Cleveland fan. I'm talking about the people who literally...
They go out of their way.
Like, that Goose kid that's supposedly a Minnesota fan, you would never... Like, you could follow him for months and never know that he's a Minnesota fan because all he does is tweet about Cleveland.
Yes, but he's Ben Maller before Ben lost the weight and had a radio career.
Right. Yeah, right.
like the top three are Goose, Boney, and Goon. Like, you would never know that they're fans of other teams.
Right, like, Gugliano talking about Tony Grossi. Like, I don't know a single other team in the league's beat reporters.
I don't either.
And he's obsessed with the Cleveland Browns beat writer. That's just weird to me.
I will say this. There was the one guy, who's the guy in the morning that you guys used to talk about him so much, I'm like, I have to find out what the fuck they're talking about.
Booms.
Yeah, so I listened for like 10 minutes, and that was it. I was like, this is the worst show ever. What the hell are they talking about?
Like, that's exactly what someone says who turns into this podcast.
Yeah.
Yeah, greatest show.
What the hell are they talking about? This is terrible.
Best radio show ever.
The first thing
I do when I wake up in the morning is turn that show on.
I tried to listen to Kylie and Booms, and then I tried to listen to Detroit Sports Radio.
Oh, God.
And I would shove an ice pick in my ears.
I used to listen to Detroit Radio. To Killer Kowalski when he was on with Sean Bilegian, because I liked that show. But then Killer like had a massive heart attack and died, and that was it. I was like, I can't listen to that show anymore. Yeah, but he was like an amazing. He was like, imagine being the Detroit Lions beat reporter, and then making the playoffs like once in your career, and the year you die, they end the drought. That's like the worst thing that could ever happen. Like you've spent your entire career as a reporter covering a team that wasted potentially the best running back in NFL history, and then the year that you die, they break the drought and get to the back to the playoffs.
Hopefully that happens to Tony Grossi. Oh, did I just say that?
No, that would be like, so it would be like Tom Hamilton dying and then the Indians winning the World Series.
Don't you dare.
Right.
Oh, man, that'd be horrible.
That would be
awful. Yeah, well, like so I try to listen to Detroit Sports Radio on the iPhone, whatever. And I turned it on in the afternoon because everybody always complains about that guy, Mike Valenti or whatever he is, whatever his name is.
Right.
And I can't even listen to it.
He's a very effective Michigan State troll, though. Like, he gets under my skin so much that when he gets retweeted onto my timeline, it makes me angry that I have to, like, mute anything Valenti-related because his rant when they lost Notre Dame a couple years ago is magical. And I wish that Michigan State would return to that level of shittiness just so I can hear Valenti go off.
All right, so since we're talking about this whole trolling thing for whatever reason, so and we all have the same kind of group of people we follow on Twitter, who is your most effective troll on Twitter? Like, who gets under your skin more than anybody else? Hmm. Mine's easy. Mine's Lance. Lance always pisses me off.
Lance is very effective.
And I've gotten very good at just like stopping myself from responding, even
Lance
when
Lance is definitely up there. He's very tactical, and he knows how to hit the right spots. Yes.
Yeah, he does, and I think he is. He's calculated enough with it that he doesn't like Gugliano. Just is so overboard with it that it's just whatever, dude. Like, it's just annoying at a certain point. But with Lance, it's, you know, it comes at the hard time.
Well, Gugliano's, he's worn out. He's terrible now. He used to be good.
Washed
once
up.
You catch on.
He's Albert Bell after the injuries.
I can tell you who it is. The troll for me, every time that I would see anything this guy tweeted, it would piss me off royally, is we follow each other now and we're good, but it's Tom Orr for Ohio State. Have you heard?
Yeah, I used to follow him. Tom, I never really liked him very much.
He's good. How do I put it? It's like spy bombing. He just zooms in. You don't see it coming. It's like drones, and then you're just, bam, you're pissed off. But we're good.
Because to me, there's different levels. There's a lot of people that try to troll, and it's just so absurd. Like, there has to be a small bit of truth based to your trolling. You can't just completely like pull things out of your butt to, you know, to troll about. There has to be some sort of base to what you're saying.
I have to say, during baseball season, Lance gets me the most. Scout Kowski has some good digs sometimes.
His don't bother me. He's very poor. He's a very poor baseball scout, and he's a very poor troll.
The Ohio State troll that gets me the most. It's Gerd Ozone gets me sometimes.
Yeah, but he's good. Like he's not really a troll as much though. I think he's hard hitting you with facts, and the facts just offend you.
No, he the facts trolls. Are the trolling. He trolls.
Right. All you have to say to Gerd is that he actually went to Ohio State in the 90s, and he understands the depths of sadness. Like, he went to, like, the 96 game in Ann Arbor when Bianca Batuka went off, and that was his first Michigan-Ohio State game, and he got to see the Bianca Batuka game live.
I got to hold myself with CJ sometimes.
Yeah, back in the day, there are some that I just had to block immediately, and I was like, this is going to go someplace it shouldn't. That was Psycho Buckeye.
C-Bus what's his face?
C-Bus Jeff actually like accused me of supporting child rape because I said something positive about Penn State.
Yeah, he also is suing all of us.
Yeah, so he was going to sue
us. We probably shouldn't talk about him right now.
Oh, shit. Yeah.
Due to a pending lawsuit.
We're not talking about C-Bus Jeff. We're talking about Sir Burst Jerf.
C-Bus Jeff? Yeah, old C-Bus. He was good. He's really good at Photoshop.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. He's so good.
The Brady Hoke statue. Remember that one?
Oh, my God. That's so creepy, man.
He was the worst.
He's, you know what? Let's not even give that guy any time because it's creepy. And I'm sorry that I brought it up. It's my fault. You know, I can edit that out. We'll retract all of it. C-Bus Jeff, you piece of shit.
So I'm gonna say the person that bothers me the most that I actually follow still. And he doesn't bother me so much anymore, but it used to be Mike Ammo. And it wasn't about – actually, it was a little about Ohio State stuff, but it was mostly about, like, last season before the Lions played the Browns in the preseason.
The GLC. Call it what it is.
Yeah.
Mike
– it's a battle for the Great Lakes, and you'll do whatever it takes.
Yep. Mike actually came out on Twitter and – just proclaimed about how great of a season Whedon was going to have and how great Trent Richardson was and the Browns are going to make the playoffs. And then like week three, when the Browns like realized they were just going to shit the bed, all of a sudden it turned into draft a quarterback with every draft pick you have until you get it right. And then as we got closer to the draft, it was, I'm not going to root for this team unless we draft Johnny Football. And it's like, well, wait a minute, Mike. You said you wanted to draft a quarterback with every pick. Now you changed your mind. Well, Johnny's a franchise quarterback. And it's like, how the hell do you know that? Like, it just substantiating claims.
He is right about that, though.
So was Jamarcus Russell.
But the people that I hate when they get retweeted into my timeline during college football season is Stakes and Stiff Arms and that guy Ramsey.
Oh, I love Ramsey.
I can't stand just the smart-ass comments about, you know, Michigan.
Ramsey is an incredible writer. He is very talented.
No, I really don't like that dude because he...
Go ahead.
What just happened?
I got one that I thought of. Ohio State troll. He doesn't tweet very much anymore. It was Scott, the OSU.
Yeah.
He's gotten me a few times.
I could not follow him during football season. It was
he bought me a beer once, so I like him.
Painful.
We need to get off of the talking about random people on Twitter bit here.
Yeah.
Because
we do.
This is going nowhere fast. This is the plane's been hit. Sunken battleship right now. Like we still
have a second half here to save it though.
That's true.
Like LeBron against the Pistons in the 29-30 game.
Oh yeah, you can hang your hat on that one awesome time that you guys had LeBron and get you to the finals.
That was fun.
Yeah, let's talk about the one Central Division champion banner hanging in your stadium.
Yeah, let's talk about it. I love that year.
What are you doing? Are you in the kitchen doing dishes again?
I'm not.
Hey, so are the Browns going to let Miles Austin wear number 19?
I can only hope. I hope so. I pray just to see the meltdown that will happen
if he is able to wear Bernie Kosar.
I'm pretty excited about the Miles Austin signing.
Bernie Kosar is an overrated, drunken quarterback that the only
reason he has any clout
in Cleveland is because we have not had a good quarterback since 1989. He would not even exist if the Browns had a pulse.
Wow.
So are we saying that you're excited about Miles Austin and you would prefer him over Josh Gordon? You're like, man, lost Josh Gordon, but man, it stings less now that we have Miles Austin.
I'm in shock what Mike just said there. That was a very angry rant. I'm not sure the origins of it.
It's not at Bernie Kosar, it's at the Cleveland Browns fans.
It was awfully personal towards Bernie, though. The drunken quarterback and
he is, but those are facts.
Would Bernie even know if Miles Austin was wearing number 19? Like somebody could tell him, and he'd be like so punch drunk he wouldn't even know.
Like that 19 beers? Is that what we're talking about?
No, like punch drunk, like either he's real drunk or the concussions he's blaming today.
I can't be mad at Bernie Kosar because I watched that episode of 30 for 30, the broke episode, and it's just pitiful. It's like pitiful. Dude, this guy, his family basically used him as toilet paper and then were like, you're out of money, go away, you brain dead shit.
And his daughter in porno. Hell yes,
daughter's a porn star.
You know, the one recurring theme of this podcast so far has been Boney's racism, Boney's sexism, and Boney's fascination with porno.
I've said two sentences about porn in this.
Well, last week you went on a whole rant about some red videotape.
We all talked about porn last week.
You were the only one who knew about red videotapes.
Dude, you were talking about the Chinese you were talking about the Chinese bodegas you used to go in as a child. Where you sneak into the black market. Yeah, you sneak in through the beaded door.
I don't really want to hear anyone disparage Pork My Dumpling on this podcast. You understand me? I will not have that happen.
Mark was the one. He was finding weird titles of porn movies. That was not me.
I'm not the only one who did that. I'm the only one who admitted it.
By the way, we were on Miles Austin, Bernie Kosar, now we're back to porn.
By the way, Feeding Frenzy, number 1 through 7, if you're a fan of, a particular genre.
What the fuck?
You can look it up.
Feeding Frenzy? I'm not going to look that up.
Dude, you know you're going to get size for it.
You're going to end up like, this will be like the ultimate troll. It'll be like the Lemon Party, and I'll be like, ah, a bunch of old dicks. I'm not going to let you Lemon Party me on this podcast, Boney.
Oh, I love setting my friend's homepage to Lemon Party in college.
Oh, yeah. I had this one ruse that would work. I'd be like, hey, man, my friends are running for student government, and they're trying to get votes. They need people to vote on their website. They're running as the Lemon Party, so just go to lemonparty.org and vote for them, man. They really appreciate it. And they would go and be like, what the fuck is that?
Fantastic.
Man, so Miles Austin and Earl Bennett, 5'8" Earl Bennett, are going to make up for all the yards lost by Josh Gordon's suspension.
No one said that. But that also does mean that Greg Little isn't your number one receiver.
Wait, didn't you guys sign...
You signed my buddy Nate Burleson.
Burleson, yeah.
I'm just assuming he's not going to play this year.
He broke his arm again.
Yeah. I'm also assuming Miles Austin is going to be hurt at some point. But I'm just happy that, you know... I was really annoyed with a lot of the fans that wanted the draft, like a receiver in the 4th or 5th round, and were like really, really upset the Browns didn't, just simply because what the hell is a 4th or 5th round receiver going to do? I would rather have Miles Austin. So that's my happiness.
I agree. Rather Miles Austin than a 5th round receiver.
And, you know, Martavius Bryant or Dante Moncrief or, you know.
Jeremy Gallen.
Martavis Bryant is going to be a beast.
Jeremy Gallen, what a star.
I don't want Jeremy Gallen anywhere near my professional football team.
Why?
Jeremy Gallen. They can Jeremy Brad Roby.
It's not like I don't want Bradley Roby anywhere near my team either, but
he's good at drinking and driving.
That was a great troll by Belichick. I'm going to draft the guy that torched your first round pick 6 rounds later.
I'm not really sure how Roby ended up a first round pick. That's beyond me, but
maybe they were afraid that if he wasn't drafted in the first round, he would just get drunk and punch a bunch of people in the face.
Maybe that's what they were afraid of.
Yeah.
Who drafted Carlos Hyde, the 49ers?
That's a great pick.
Yeah, get him as far away as possible. I fucking hate Carlos Hyde so much.
He's so good.
The 49ers are the...
He let you guys almost win the game this year by that fumble, though.
Yeah, and then he just was like, I'm just going to hold on to this ball and score this game-winning touchdown, and I'm going to average 8 yards carry on this drive. And here's the deal. I'll say this. I was there. I was with the king. I was with Jarvie. I jumped on Jarvie's back when we scored that touchdown.
Hal was watching the Michigan-Ohio State game in Michigan Stadium with the overlord of Twitter, Matthew Amadeus Jarvie.
I honestly thought I was getting fucking punked. Like, Ashton was going to pop out and be like, this isn't for real. You don't actually get to do this. You know, it was really, really, really weird.
My favorite all-time Jarvie moment was that day. I think it was at the Michigan spring game. And, like, Jarvie went around to all parts of Michigan Stadium and found every basketball player.
And took pictures with them.
Yeah, and was posting pictures of them.
I loved that.
It was when I realized how short Jarvie was.
It was fantastic.
But Jarvie's a man. I like Jarvie. I think at one point we should have him as a special guest on this podcast.
We do need a Jarvie appearance.
We need Jarvie-isms. But, no, when I was talking about the Ohio State game, we scored, and there was 30 seconds left, and they went for two. They didn't get it. But at no point in time was I confident that Michigan would stop them in the last 30 seconds of the game. I was like, this is going to be really fun for 30 seconds while we have the lead, and then we're going to fucking lose.
Yeah, you would have. I mean, you would have.
Because we're one overthrown pass in the 2011 game from losing that one, too.
God damn it.
But you got Brady Hoke, man.
Yeah, man, he would have walked to Michigan, and it probably would have done him some good.
That visit policy he's got is great.
Well, let's talk about that.
Go for it, because I'm going to lose my fucking shit if I
do. Let me just get this straight. Hold on. So, if somebody, once a kid commits to Michigan, right, they're not allowed to visit anywhere else. That's his quote-unquote policy.
That's his policy. You're not allowed to visit anywhere, or your spot in the class is considered gone.
Not gone, but open.
But for all intensive purposes, it's probably gone.
There have been very few instances where kids have committed. They've been informed, hey, you know, don't make this decision unless you're 100% certain you want to be committed to this school. And sometimes it works. Like, it worked with Jabril Peppers, and he never wavered on his commitment. But we've had, like, 3 or 4 five-star players who commit to Michigan. And in my opinion, if you're a kid and you're being heavily recruited by other schools and you're committed to a place.
Right. I want to go see them.
Yeah. And you call them up and they're like, you know, I'm considering going to look at the other school. And that sparks a negative reaction from the current coaching staff you're with. I don't know if that's the case. I mean, I'm not in the room, but it always seems like they never end well. The only one that I can remember ending in a positive note was David Dawson after he decommitted. And then all of his friends committed to Michigan, and he had to go, like, beg the coaches for his spot back. Now, when you're in Michigan's position, and the only you're 7-6, and the only winning season you've had in the last 3 years was with Rich Rodriguez's players. Like, we're seeing Brady Hoke's recruited players fail, essentially.
Well, still too early. For me, at least.
It's his third year.
Right, but this is what?
This will be his fourth year, right? Going into his fourth year.
This is his fourth year, but this is his third year with, like, his guys.
Right, and he's only ever won with Rick Rodriguez's players. Those are all correct statements.
I agree, but still, a lot of these kids are, like, redshirt sophomores or sophomores. I mean... I don't like Brady Hoke. I think he's going to lose his job after this year, but to say, like, his talent isn't any good, I think, is too premature.
Sure, no, but talent is bad. I think it's how they're being coached and who's coaching them. How can you recruit 5,000 offensive linemen and not be able to put 5 decent players on the field?
All right, let me ask you guys this. When Brady Hoke goes 7-6 again this year and then gets fired, who is a more, say, a decade from now, who do you look upon more favorably, Rich Rodriguez or Brady Hoke?
Brady Hoke.
Why? Because Rich Rod had the 3-9 season.
Rich Rod has a 3-9 season. He lost to Toledo.
Well,
he ended the bowl streak. There's so many things
Sheridan, even three.
Let me ask you this then. If they don't fire Rich Rod, do you think you guys are in a better place right now?
No.
Record-wise, I don't know what the talent, but record-wise.
No.
It's a matter of...
No.
And I'm going to... hopefully I'm speaking the truth here, and hopefully this doesn't piss off the Blue Bloods. But as of right now, and as of the last 5-10 years, Michigan thinks they are better than they are. It's that simple.
They do.
No offense to Ohio State, but when John Cooper got fired... They're the hot coaching name on the market. Their coaching search came down to Tim Brewster and Jim Tressel. Glenn Mason.
Who was an Ohio State alum, by the way.
Right. Glenn Mason and Jim Tressel. And they had to go, we're either going to go with Glenn Mason because he's part of this family, or we're going to go with someone who may be unproven but has won championships at the lower level and comes from a coaching pedigree. And luckily, the gamble worked. And he is a fantastic coach, and he did amazing things for Ohio State.
Yep, he changed the complexion of Ohio State football.
Yes.
Yeah, but you guys got a Michigan man in Hoke, man.
That's what we're trying to get at here.
Understand.
Humbled themselves and said, well, we're not exactly who we used to be, so we're not going to expect the Les Miles's and the Jim Harbaugh's and the pedigree coaching candidates. Like, Michigan's last two coaching searches have been a laughing stock. They've been a joke. And then they have to defer to the least common denominator. The guy, you know, Brady Hoke was their last person that they called. You know, you want to take to the...
I mean, Brady Hoke would be your last pick.
Because he's the guy who would say yes to the girl going to prom with them.
It's like this line from Ferris Bueller when he's talking about Cameron Fry's life. And he said he's going to marry the first woman that ever has sex with him because he will be getting the end-all, be-all of his human existence.
No, Brady, I mean, he's a Michigan man, but he did improve on both of the teams that he had coached. Up until that particular point, by the time he left the previous school.
Those two schools are...
They're shit schools, yes.
He looks overwhelmed when you look at him try to coach the team. You look like you have this feeling.
I've never seen him coaching. When does he do that? I just see him standing over there with his arms folded.
Right. That's my point.
Everybody else do their thing.
He looks overwhelmed. He has no idea what he's doing. Michigan's too big for him.
And he's overly loyal. I mean, I don't know. I can't go into it. I feel like a broken fan.
I'm in the same place as Mark.
When Michigan hired Bo Schembechler in 1969, they humbled themselves and hired the guy from Miami of Ohio. And the guy that worked for Ohio State, they're like, okay, well, we're not really that good right now, and we're going to hire this guy who could get us to the place. I mean, if the headline on the newspaper when he gets hired is Bo Who, and he becomes a legendary coach for Michigan, the only way Michigan's going to get back to being remotely competitive is if they get rid of Dave Brandon and they humble themselves and say, we're not what we used to be, but we need to put someone in place who can do that. It's not Brady Hoke. It's not.
Yep. And honestly, I love watching you guys suffer. Except Mike. Mike is the only Michigan fan I actually feel for, and simply because he has to suffer with every one of his sports teams. But I have to watch all these other Michigan fans who also happen to be Tigers fans, you know, troll and just be ridiculous and when their basketball team's good and, you know, that kind of thing, and are just absurd.
You You wouldn't know that basketball even exists in Detroit anymore.
Right. I thought I meant Michigan basketball. But 7 to 8 months out of the year, and then when I see the complete misery during college football season, it just puts a little smile on my face and just makes my day a tiny bit better every time.
See, I feel like you're part of the...
When we beat Michigan yearly now in football, I go back. My favorite thing, yes, we. My favorite thing to do is go back to, like, Lance's timeline and Mark's timeline and Jarv's timeline and just go back and just revel in it, man. It's really beautiful.
You don't see that. I'm sorry. I can't agree with that. You do not see me grandstanding at all on Michigan. I defy you to go back and find me pumping up Michigan football somewhere
in my
timeline.
No, I never said
that.
Find Mark doing that.
No,
find me doing that anymore either.
And here's the deal.
Down on Michigan football than I ever was.
How old are you?
We've discussed this. I can't believe you don't know.
You're in your mid-20s. You're 25 years old.
Correct.
Okay.
And you have 2 kids.
5.
That's incorrect, but let's move on.
I have 2 kids. Tony, do you know any of us? I feel like I have 2 children.
Remember, I nominated myself to join you 3 clowns.
Actually, to be fair, this came together very naturally.
Yeah.
Can we have Mark's story time now, please?
Yeah, go.
Okay. I don't think you fully grasp the 90s of the rivalry. I think you're part of this new Buckeye breed.
Oh, no.
Feels
I
you guys are never going to lose.
No. I remember the 90s.
You don't act like it.
Dude, bro, I cried in like the fucking 96, 97. I cried every year. I was a little like heartbroken kid crying on my couch when Ohio State lost to Michigan. I remember.
We could do no wrong. And I understand. But like, I feel like I grew up in an era where Michigan didn't lose to Ohio State. So I feel like this is punishment. I don't know if I did something wrong. I don't know, maybe it's just me being like too personally selfish, but like I've been married for 10 years. I've been with my wife for 11, and like the last time that Michigan beat Ohio State, like, and it was a convincing victory, we weren't married. We were just dating. Now there was that.
So you're blaming your wife, right?
Well, I told her at one time, I was like, if they don't win this year, we're getting a divorce. We can still live together. We can still hang out, but the marriage has to end.
I just remember being in elementary school in Ohio and just being able to wear my Charles Woodson jersey to school like 4 or 5 times a week and just trolling my classmates. I've always been a troll. Just being walking in and just being like, you know what? I'm better than you.
With your head full of luxuriously red hair.
Yes, flowing red hair.
Your long, flowing red locks.
My mane.
This is now thinning red hair. It used to be long and luxurious in school.
Yeah,
if we could play like a hypothetical game and like you stumble upon a genie in a bottle and like, we'll give you 3 wishes, I would legitimately rub the bottle and be like, look, I want 1 wish. I want Twitter in the 90s. I want that. Because I've had to deal
with it. Yeah, but you know, so if we had Twitter.
I would be on top of the world. I'd have the Indians and I'd have the Wolverines.
Right, so listen. So if Twitter was around back in the 90s and say, you know, that's when it started, like, you know, you would have these trolls going back to, like, 1996 and, like, retweeting Michigan fan, like, just bashing Ohio State, though. Like,
that's fine.
CJ would be like retweeting stuff from like the mid 90s just to.
But the point that I'm trying to make is that your era of victory is more enjoyable because you get to visually see our misery. I never got to see Buckeye fans cry. I never got to see the little kid on TV crying or that picture retweeted. But my misery is on like a fucking projector screen for everyone to see.
Absolutely. That's why I hate Michigan. I've always hated Michigan. But my level of hatred towards really the fans more than anything has amplified by a million since I joined Twitter. By at least a million.
Oh.
All right, so we got to get our sports reporter stuff in because we're at an hour. So who wants to go first? Right. I nominate Boney, Grand Wizard. Go for it.
All right, so let's talk about briefly former Tigers that the Indians sign and how great former Indians are that the Tigers sign. And let's look at tonight's lineup as a perfect example of the Tigers front office and the Indians front office. Ryan Rayburn is playing left field tonight for the Cleveland Indians, batting third, and his slash line is 181 batting average, 228 on-base percentage, and 222 slugging. Now, I don't need to pull up Victor Martinez's slash line, but I can guarantee it's probably over 300 with like a 360 on-base percentage and definitely over a 440 slugging percentage. And I will say the Tigers front office is by far superior to the Indians front office when it comes to former players. So that'll be that.
And I think naturally we should now go to Mike.
They like triple our payroll, but whatever.
Quadruple, but
hey,
yeah.
Can one of you guys give me one of those Bro Ohio bobbleheads, the Nick Swisher?
I'm gonna smash mine. this is all right. My rant is about people in Cleveland that are negative about Jonathan Football being in our city. And it's just something for people. There always has to be something in Cleveland for people to bitch about. And this guy is here. He's exciting. You should all embrace him. It's great for our city. It puts us back on the sports map. But yet there's people talking about, you know, well, it's on both sides. You get people like Tony Rizzo today talking about, oh, they're not going to give him a chance. We even had the guy for a week. And then you got people on the other side on Twitter going, oh, I don't like this guy. His head is too big, and he does the money thing. No, fuck you. Embrace it. Enjoy it. Have fun for once. Go Browns.
Aaron?
I have nothing about sports. I would like to thank our loyal listeners, which I believe there's two of them. Mark's brother.
Thank you, Mike.
And Mark's brother, who followed us all on Twitter, and that's Steve Kays or whatever his name is, listens every week.
Wojo.
Who live tweets our podcast, which I like a lot.
Jarvie.
King Jarvie, you know, Anthony Skowkowski. Anthony. Anthony listens to it simply because of me. but I would just like to thank our, you know, handful of loyal listeners, and that's all I got.
That's very nice, Aaron.
Well, I'm going to end this tonight on Steve Kerr. I don't fucking get how Steve Kerr just signed a NBA head coaching contract for 5 years and $25 million when he's never coached a game in the NBA. There was this giant hype machine that was created by Phil Jackson in the Knicks front office that essentially got a buddy of his who he coached for the Bulls $25 million based on nothing. Now, you're the Golden State Warriors. You're known for being, well, like, no offense, but like the Cleveland Cavaliers of the West Coast. You have a 4.79 winning percentage all time. You hire Mark Jackson, who had the exact same credentials as Steve Kerr, and he gave you 2 out of the 3 years of winning seasons and took you deep into the playoffs this year. I don't get it. Maybe the Golden State Warriors have Michigan syndrome and they think they're just better than they are, but clearly someone is not operating on the same level. Donald Sterling clearly is feeding someone advice in that team.
No, he's golf buddies with the owner.
That's
like they're golfing buddies.
When do we get buddies that will give us $25 million contracts? Like, just how do we get there?
All of our buddies are broke. That's why we do.
I'm a lot on Boney.
Huh? Why we do podcasts at 9 o'clock at night on Thursday.
That's why we do. That's why Mike does trivia on Wednesday.
I do trivia on Wednesday nights.
Do you win money on trivia, Mike? I feel like this should be a segment as a weekly Mike trivia update.
We do win money.
How much have you won?
We won $30 once.
Oh, that's
this went between like 10 people.
Well, we're moving on up.
It's not for the money. It's for the satisfaction of winning.
Who was your again? The she-male what?
I forget what we is she-male something.
Can we go
it
ahead
was one of the
and,
it was one of the nudie magazines that you see in Billy Madison when he opens up the manila envelope in the beginning of the movie.
Nudie magazines.
Can we add Aaron Hernandez's two new murders to Urban Meyer's record? Can we do that?
Oh, yeah, I forgot about that.
Somebody was trying to do that today, yeah.
Of course. Urban Meyer is a fucking murderer.
Yeah, he is.
Well, there's no personal accountability. It is right. What it is.
Yeah.
Have the Cavs hired a coach yet?
No.
Jackson.
We'll talk next week when they hire some random assistant.
Can't believe we even talked about Ron Jeremy being the head of the Detroit Pistons.
Stan Van Jeremy has never had a losing season.
I know, I like Stan Van.
That'll change, but yeah, you are correct.
Shut up. If he can take Dwight Howard and the Orlando Magic to the finals and
Lakers. I had a non-troll tweet. I love the Troll Pistons fans, and I, you know.
Why? That's
a
great
There's like five of them.
Well, the ones that did it.
No, yeah. Aaron trolled me today, and I was fine with it.
What?
Because I'm a Piston fan, even though they suck.
What are Piston fans, and there are Indians fans.
Well, no, he said he likes the Van Gundy hire.
I like it, too. I made a nice tweet about it yesterday.
I like
and
it.
Speaking of breaking down walls, it was like East Germany and West Germany today when I clicked follow Klee Wolverine again.
Yeah. Hey,
so it's
Let
up
the
to
healing
him
begin, guys.
If he
Let
wants to follow, begin. If he wants to follow back in the words of Gwen Stefani.
Ain't no follow back.
Yeah, if he wants to be a follow back girl, whatever. go ahead and click that button and give your boy a second chance.
Can you pull up a Wojo tweet to end this on again? I wanna end the podcast right.
All right, let's find one. Notorious Wojo.
He claims that wasn't him saying that. Of course, he retweets Mark's comment earlier about talking about porn on the podcast.
His last like few tweets are to one of us or about the podcast. He's a big fan. Dag gamut, he said earlier. Dag gummit.
He says, "All right, let's go to 2 hours ago. Having white trash roll for dinner. I feel I should be having a natty light with this. Sadly, it's an IPA from TBBC." Whatever that means.
Wait, I have to. I got to interject with something here, not to step on your feet, but I'm looking at Bro Schembechler's timeline, and he tweeted recently, "Andre Johnson to the Patriots, please." But he's not a Patriots fan, so
he's not a
no
Patriots
big deal.
Fan. No big deal.
Oh, jeez.
All right, well, that's it for us tonight. Thank you for playing with the boys, and we'll catch you next week. Talk to you later.